The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Majestic downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, where it is now getting officially hot. 90s yesterday, Kelly.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 75 even this morning.
Yeah.
I was kind of enjoying the cool mornings we woke up to, and then whatever. If it gets hot in the afternoon, it's fine. But that's all done. Summer's here.
Summer's here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Brandon Kyles. I'll speak for Steeler Nation and say we'll all be betting on Muth. Pat Fryermuth is not one of the horses in the Preakness. Just want to make that clear. Ryan, hi.
I didn't get that right away. There we go. Okay.
Ryan, hi. Congratulations to Gil and Kelly for helping the Total Wine & More jingle crack this week's top 20 on Casey Kasem's countdown. The power of ANG and VSiN knows no bounds. Bobby Geddes. I wrote my last law school paper explaining why PASPA should be overturned. My exact conclusion came through soon after. My teacher gave me a B. Come on, man. I'm sorry. Getting choked up again. Come on, man. I did the Supreme Court's job as a law student. I swear I'm not holding a grudge. Still getting over the sickness, Kelly.
Yeah. Okay.
You want, Nevada
Azer. Want me to read some tweets?
I'll read these final ones, and then you can take over. Actually, you take over. Go ahead.
Let's see. We got Martle tweeting in, wondering if JVT's voicing some of our DraftKings Spring Break commercials. No, not. We're getting a lot of comments recently on our commercials. Just a PSA for the audience.
Yeah, we don't know.
We can't hear them during the break. Nothing. Like, we take off these headsets. We talk for 2 minutes. We thoroughly plan what we're going to discuss coming up thoroughly for a whole two and a half
thoroughly
minutes. Okay? It's all we talk about. We don't talk about the music or anything like that.
No.
Jack, I hear you. Thanks. 3JackH3131. Gil, you getting choked up thinking about betting Rodgers comeback player of the year? And wants to know if I'm betting Mike Tomlin for coach of the year.
Nevada Azer.
Never had a losing season, Gil.
No. Nevada Azer. A-Rod is this year's Hamlin. When Brady comes out of the booth week 11 to take a team to the playoffs, LOL, just saying. This is Chris Hartman. To my question of who's the quarterback laying in the weeds, a la Joe Flacco this year. He says, Gil, Ryan Tannehill is still out there. Come on, man.
Oh, no, I need someone further. I need someone that's been further removed, right? A little bit more than Tannehill.
Yeah, we'll come up with somebody.
Yeah. We got John on the line.
John Hasselbauer, everybody, joins us. PGA betting and DFS content for the lines. That's what he does. You can follow him on Twitter, at PGA Tout. Don't worry, he's in on the joke. Comes to us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Valhalla this week, the PGA. We started yesterday talking about this by sort of saying we're in the world of Scottie Scheffler for sure now. We've obviously been there for a while, but now we seem to be at the point where you can do a whole bunch of golf handicapping, and in the end, you might just have to throw out the window because this guy exists. Are you getting there? Is that creeping into your mind?
I think at the Masters, it was kind of, you have to play him because course history is so repeatable. Here, it's a little bit more of a decision to be made, just because we've never seen him play this course before.
Where did you land in terms of your outrights?
I'm daring to go against him this week. I began my card with John Rahm, who I think has a lot going in his favor this year. I think he kind of falls off a lot of people's radars with everything going on Live, but he hasn't finished worse than top 10 in any event he started there, which I think is still pretty impressive.
What number did you get Rahm at? Close to 20 to 1?
I did, yeah. And I think it's interesting that he slipped that far. He's still, in my eyes, a top 3 player in the world.
Is Rahm the only outright that you have, John, or do you bet on anyone else?
In addition to John Rahm, I also bet on it's been an interesting week of a lot of pivots back and forth on the card, but I did land on Bryson DeChambeau as well at 30-1 and Patrick Cantlay at 45-1. Just two numbers I think that drifted too far on a Jack Nicklaus design that really suits their games.
So Rahm, DeChambeau in there as well. So beyond outrights, then did you do matchups or have you got a first round leader bet? Where did you land?
You know, one first round leader bet that I like a lot, and I'm paying attention to the weather because it does look like it's a little bit of a softer course, and some guys are going to have a little bit of an advantage with the weather this week. But I like Ben Ahn this week. Just somebody who fits this course so perfectly well. He's played well in these Jack Nicklaus designs and these longer courses. He's one of the longest hitters in the field, and maybe we don't know how he's going to stand up to the test of a major over four rounds. But that's the type of player that I love going after in the first round before the pressure sets in. You know, he suits the course very well. So he's a player both in the first round leader market and in the placement market around, you know, top 20 bet I like on him. And then someone in the top 40 range that I think is a pretty conservative placement bet for me is Taylor Moore, another guy who kind of just like gains across the board, very well-rounded and playing in good form in the top 20 at the Masters earlier this season.
All right, John, I'll tell you what, our connection's not so great. We'll get back to it another time when it's better. Thank you for making the time. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys.
John Hasselbauer, everybody, PGA Betting and DFS over there. At PGA Tout, once again, is his Twitter handle. Does PGA Betting and DFS content for the lines. Joining us for the PGA Championship. Sorry about that connection, but it sounded very echoey. Kelly, you did your research on Valhalla yesterday.
Ready to go. Long shot special coming up tomorrow morning is when it airs. I'm recording it today.
Outrights, who'd you end up with?
I have two. I do not think I will be adding anything more. I bet John Rahm as well. He had drifted to 20-1. I am in on John Rahm. That is pretty much just a number play. Two outrights, I bet. Pretty much just number plays. The win equity at the top, I think, when you are talking, you're talking Scottie Scheffler. And now you're talking Rory McIlroy coming in off a win. You're talking Brooks Koepka coming in off of a win. It's Scheffler, and then there's two other guys that hold a bunch of win equity at the top. So my outrights are going to be – it's going to be light this week. It's going to be two. I might add in tournament once I get a look. I don't think it's as simple, though, Gil, with the other guys playing. You know, McIlroy's – I mean, if you want – it was a team event, but it's two wins in a row for him. Yeah, I'm not going to treat that as it's completely nothing. And Brooks Koepka coming off a win – a couple weeks in a row of some of his best putting that we've seen in a while out of him. I think he's a little live too, a little bit more, you know, more live than these other guys. I don't think it's just Scheffler that we're talking about for this week. So I found that interesting, really digging into stuff. John Rahm though, at 20-1, it's still out there. That was the number I kept. I was like, if I see John Rahm anywhere with a two starting in front, I'm going to have to get involved. Cause that is, this is just,
when was the last time we saw that?
Oh, boy. Probably a year. I don't even know. Probably not last year. It's probably been a couple years. But that's the point, right? This is just, it's, no, he hasn't been great. He hasn't won on LIV yet. He also hasn't finished outside of the top 10 in a single event on LIV yet, right?
Yeah.
So if he was still on the PGA Tour, you're not seeing 20-1 on this guy. This is 14-1, 12-1, something like that. So I'm really playing a number there on him. The other guy that I played was Wyndham Clark at 40-1. This is going to test distance off the tee big time this week at Valhalla. He is a big, big hitter off the tee. Almost all the guys that I bet this week are long off the tee. I think that's really going to be the truest test this week, both the length and accuracy, because the rough gets really brutal here at Valhalla. I bet him 40-1. And, you know, just a guy that can win, right? He's won three times on tour in the past year. He's a guy that can get it done. He's gone up against Scheffler before and got it done. So it's me picking guys that actually think can win. I don't think I'm going to add any more outrights besides those two. Outside of that, it was really getting into top 10s, top 20s, where I think there is some value that you can attack on the board. I know one of the guys that really stuck out to me was Keith Mitchell, who I've played a lot this year, but you're talking a lot of top 20s this year. He has seven top 20s in his 12 starts, long off the tee, good on approach, last 12 rounds, fourth off the tee, 14th in distance, 15th in approach. No, he's not good around the greens. He's not a great putter. A lot of the guys I'm targeting this week, yeah, they might not be the best putters. They're going to have a spike putting week to get it done. I got a 5-1 on him, though, to finish top 20. I love that bet. Played a couple longer shots. Talked with the Xander one already. Xander top 10, that was the first bet I made, plus 150. Lock it in, forget about it. Hopefully that gets home. Keith Mitchell, and then Adam Scott was the other one that I played top 20.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, who I haven't bet a ton this year, Gil, but he just keeps popping up. Whenever I run numbers, kind of real, he's just hanging around. Old, what was it, Johnny KGB? What was the guy? Not Johnny. From Rounders.
Let me ask you a question. For this tournament, do you end up having more bets on the PGA than you do on a standard tournament only because there's more bet offerings?
So I don't think so. For myself personally, also being here in Nevada, I think it's a great question because I don't know if I was here in Nevada, I would answer the same way. But Teddy KGB just hit me. I think if I was outside Nevada, possibly. For this tournament, though, no. The Masters, for sure, right? The Masters are posted for longer. You've got all that lead-up time to kind of add bets through the first couple months of the season as you see guys. Hey, I think he's looking good. He could look good at Augusta. Let me bet him now. I know some people do that in the weeks in between. There's only a couple weeks, obviously, in between the Masters and the PGA. There was nothing I added before yesterday that I bet before yesterday for this tournament.
Okay. All right. We hope Hasselbauer's okay. I know that segment caught him off on by surprise. So we hope everything's all right there. Long Shots live tomorrow. Yes?
That's right.
VSiN.com/podcast. I will be doing a Beating the Book podcast after this show, our Q1 MLB derivatives pod with Mark Borchard. So something for everybody. By the way, we'll come back the other side. We'll update the Guardians bet, my tennis bets, that and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Find out more, of course, at Zyn.com. About that Long Shots podcast, by the way. In-depth preview of the PGA Championship with VSiN's golf betting experts on the Long Shots podcast. It's called Long Shots. Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Maybe you've heard of that guy. Break down every aspect of this year's second golf major, including their best bets. Subscribe and download the podcast with a new episode out, well, tomorrow. Or check out the live airing tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Are you out today or are you out tomorrow?
It's airing tomorrow. We're recording it today.
It's very confusing. We get tweets.
Yeah, when you see me wearing the same shirt. No, I didn't wear it 2 days in a row. Or I didn't change after a numbers game, run over to Circa tomorrow in 5 minutes and change.
All right, this is fairly amazing. We get tweets. We talk about all kinds of random stuff, and it always is interesting what hits. And we're talking about comeback player of the year in the NFL next year, and of course, we're lamenting that we're talking about comeback player of the year in the NFL next year. But I brought up the fact, okay, who's the Joe Flacco out there this year, right? Who is the guy that nobody's thinking about? Someone said Ryan Tannehill. You said, I think correctly, no, he's got to have been out of the league for a little longer to fit the Joe Flacco bill. Well, we've gotten at least three different tweets.
Yeah, like, what's Chad Pennington up to?
Yeah, no. We've gotten at least three different tweets from, and it's about the same player. You ready for this? Any guesses? Logic3227.
Three people have tweeted in the same name, Tom Brady?
And it is not Tom Brady.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Logic3227. P. Rivers, comeback player of the year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Brian M., your outrageous long shot comeback player of the year, straight from the delivery room to delivering W, someone Q. The Philip Rivers music. Steven Vegas, by now you'd have thought that the shine of driving around the country in an RV with 16 children in tow has rubbed off. A scenario of Herbert out for the year in week 12. Jim Harbaugh, fellow RV lifer, calls in Philip Rivers for the help, and he wins comeback player of the year.
Hey, he flipped.
That's the guy.
Those are good answers.
Those are good answers.
I mean, he fits the Joe Flacco mold, right? Like, if you just need, I need a dude with arm strength. Coming off the couch, can still sling the ball?
It would be a way better story than Flacco.
Yeah, really. Actually, it really would.
Way better.
He must have gotten a call. He must not want to come back. I think you got to eliminate him. Like, were people really calling Joe Flacco before they were calling Philip Rivers?
No, I think Philip Rivers is always on speed dial with folks.
I think he is, too. But
he's like, no, I'm busy.
What are you busy with, Philip?
And by I'm busy, I mean he's getting busy. You know what I mean? Okay, real quick on a couple bets that we have going on. So just the French Open, because we talked to Drew about the French Open. So we are, listen, how many years removed now are we? We're 4 years removed away from Iga winning her debut French Open in 2020 when she won it at 30-1. But she is Rafa Nadal on clay, specifically at Roland Garros. And yes, like every year, we have Iga bets. It's just not sexy. Got her at minus 116. I do have her parlayed with both Joker and Carlitos. But I asked the question for a reason, because we have the Alcaraz injury. And obviously, Joker, we just have no idea what's going on with him after that just horrible loss to Tabilo after the bottle fell on his head. Is this the year to take a flyer on a long shot on the men's side? And maybe it is. Maybe it is. I may add a Swiatek, Casper Ruud, Kiniella, if you will, to that list. But that's what it's about, Iga, and it's about pairing with Iga. And that's really the long and short of it. It's why we don't have to do full segments on it here. But we will do a French Open preview podcast, hopefully with Drew, hopefully with Dan Westin, coming up next week. As far as the Guardians, if you remember the March-April bet on the Guardians, people had betted at Circa, like myself. Then there were others who had betted at DraftKings. There were others who had betted at William Hill Caesars. We all know how that went down in the final day. A dramatic roller coaster loss on the last out at 65-1. I did, as you know, the day before, I re-upped on the Guardians for May. The way that their schedule played out was sort of the flip, which is to say that the hard part was not at the end like it was in March, April, but that the hard part was at the beginning, and then the easy part of the May schedule comes at the end. We're not quite halfway through the month of May. The most wins in the month of May belong to both the Phillies, the defending March, April champs, if you will.
Did they get rings for that?
I think they had a whole ceremony. Again, why SportsCenter didn't lead with it, I have no idea. So the Phillies won with 20 wins in March, April. The Phillies and the Dodgers both have 9 wins so far in May. They're both 9-2 in the month of May. So they're in the driver's seat. We do have a couple teams with 8 wins. Those are the Twins and the Yankees. Twins and Yankees about to play each other. So they are at 8 wins. And remember, the tiebreaker, 8-3, by the way. Phillies, Dodgers, 9-2. Twins and Yankees, both 8-3. Tiebreaker at Circa is, again, number one is fewest losses. Number two is best run differential. The difference in this is that DraftKings did not post a May market, Kelly. So we're going to have about half the number of listeners out there who are on this bet this time. Caesars William Hill is a dead heat situation. 7 wins, that's where the Guardians are. But there's a bunch of teams with 7 wins. Padres, Orioles, Rays right now are all 7-4. Royals are 7-5. Guardians, 7-6. So that's where they stand right now. The bugaboo for the Guardians thus far has been they had a series against the White Sox. Remember how I did it series by series? Mm-hmm. We'll show that after the Rangers series here. But it was all within one game prediction-wise, series by series, up until the White Sox series, where Cleveland went 1-3.
Oof.
So they have a chance to make it up here against the Rangers, because I had them going 1-2 against the Rangers. They won the first game. So if they're able to win a couple here against the Rangers and sweep, they will have made 2 of those games back. But right now, they're about 3 games worse than I thought they needed to be. Can get to 2 games worse and 1 game worse here in 1 game worse here in a couple days and be right back in this. But right now, that White Sox series got them. And so the Guardians, in a scrum at 7 wins, 2 wins behind both the Phillies and Dodgers. So that's where that stands, if that makes sense.
Still a long ways to go. And only 2 wins out.
And only 2 wins out. And the reason we made this bet, again, is because they conclude with the Angels, the Rockies, and the Nats. So, like, there's a flourish that could happen at the end.
I mean, would you have, if I had told you before May, yes, right, before you made this bet, that you were going to go 1-3 against the White Sox would only be 2 wins out, like, you'd take that scenario.
I would take it, but that was part of the handicap. I will look at it series by series, yeah. But it's still disappointing because they shouldn't have been 1-3.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you should have the lead right now.
I should have the lead again. we'll see how it goes. Oh, anyway, that's where we stand on both of those. All right, NBA tonight. Kelly, we didn't get your thoughts. Pacers-Knicks, Game 5. Series knotted up at 2 games apiece. We're back at MSG. Knicks favored by 1.5, total 217.
I'm on the Knicks a bit. Did dabble. I'm not going to say this is not a big bet for me by any means. had all the series stuff, kind of bought off series stuff after game two and the Ananobi injury. Ananobi's is huge, but you're going back to MSG. That crowd has just been electric. I think you're going to get, you got a little bit of time to rest some of the, you know, some of the Nova three and in that blowout game in game four. So we'll see how much that helps. Brunson's got to be better. I mean, if Brunson's not great, this team's probably not going anywhere. But, man, there's still – I know there's no Ananobi, Gil. I can't get my mind around, though, half-court offense, half-court defense. I still think the Knicks have a slight edge over the Pacers. The Pacers did exactly what they should try to do last game and get out and run, and get these guys tired and go deeper into the bench. Knicks, you got, I mean, they're going to be Luka with the ball. It's Brunson. Take all the time you need bringing the ball up the court. So I understand. I like Drew's under, too. I would definitely lean that way. I actually did a silly little, if you want to join me on a silly little same game parlay, I actually did Knicks money line and alt under and Deuce McBride over his PRA. Do think we're going to see a little, we're going to see Precious Achiuwa start. I think Deuce McBride you're going to see more of, though, like you did in game four. Some of that was due to it being a blowout, but I think he's got to be a little bit a bigger part of what we've seen. The other one that, like, everybody's going crazy over Alec Burks. Okay, it's fine. He's had a couple good games. He didn't really do anything all season, so I don't really expect him to be a big part of the conversation these next couple games. But McBride's been there, man. So I think playing some overs on him tonight could be a good look.
Better puncher's chance against the Celtics. Knicks or Pacers?
Knicks. Still Knicks to me.
Even with the injuries?
Yeah, even with the injuries, it's still the Knicks.
Pacers, even with their ability to score out of the gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
T-Wolves Nuggets. The nightcap tonight, game five back in Denver. Denver having taken a 2-0 deficit and knotted up a 2-apiece. Nuggets favored by 4. I'm seeing some 4.5s as well. 206.
I'll be watching the movement here this afternoon. If this hits 5, I'll probably be in on Minnesota lightly. Much like Drew said, though, I don't see a huge edge here tonight. I can't wait to watch this game. From a betting standpoint, though, I'm definitely not in the camp of thinking this is over by Denver won 2 of Minnesota. Nor they're coming back home and they're rolling from here. We just saw Minnesota win 2 games in Denver. It can happen. I don't think we should be pretending like the Nuggets are just running away with this thing at this point. There are players on Minnesota that got to play better. I give them a chance, though, Gil. If you're going to give me 5, I'll probably take a small bit of it. Otherwise, I'm passing and just watching this one.
You worried about your Mavs bets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I was worried about that at the start of the series.
Yeah, but they took the 2-1 lead, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, I said yesterday, I thought Thunder were a good bet yesterday. I thought they were a good bet in the series.
We'll come back. Baseball with Paul Spohr, soccer with Paul Carr. We got some plays for you. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. When you use promo code ANG, I did the math for you. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Yeah, we're slashing prices on everything from Adam Burke baseball articles to betting splits and more.
Slashing prices on Adam Burke baseball articles.
Wow. Yeah.
It's VSIN.com/subscribe. I lied to Adam Burke. I said I was only borrowing the Guardians for March and April.
Yeah, you did. You lied.
Total liar. We get tweets at Bidding the Book. Tom FT for 3. This is the best tweet of the morning. He said, bad form, Gil, sneak attacking guests, catching them by surprise. So great. Tim Lawson also texting in the same. He said, did that guy know he was on a live show, or did he think you guys were just chatting on the phone? Did seem like we caught him by surprise there. Nick G. Off subject, but coming to Vegas end of June, staying at Aria. Besides coming to the D to see you guys. Oh, that'd be great. Listen to the Vegas Lifestyle Pod. Definitely going to some of your restaurants. Any other recommendations? Kelly, you have any late restaurant recommendations?
Good question.
That you've discovered of late?
No, nothing recently. Yeah. Nothing new, at least. Yeah.
You know where I haven't been in a long time, which I miss? Yardbird.
Good spot.
Fried chicken over Venetian. Brian M.
You could stay in the Venetian for 2 weeks and not leave, and be completely happy.
Oh,
there's so many good restaurants and stuff in there.
A lot of places you can say that about. Brian M. He says the correct French Open parlay in Poland is Poland meets Greece. He was joking. He says, or Kat Soccer. He knows no, but really, Iga Tsitsipas. I don't hate the Iga Tsitsipas either. Again, just anchor it around Iga. She is Rafa Nadal. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from Austin, Texas. You can follow him at Spore on Twitter. He works for Fangraphs, and he's down with OTP, which he'll explain. It's Paul Spore, everybody. How you doing, Paulie? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Can you explain what OTP is? We never really delve into that for you.
Out of the park baseball. So it is a baseball simulator. And frankly, if you're a betting nerd, and I say that with love, not slander, chances are you would like a baseball betting simulator. You can play lots of different ways, but the thing that I do is called Perfect Team, and it's a card collecting game where you collect cards of real life players from over the years for different, stages of their career. You can get a rookie card for a player and get their best season for a player. You put a team together and it simulates against other human opponents. So Gil, we could both create a team of different players, and then the simulator would play us against each other. You have a season throughout the week. Every day is a month of games. And then on Sunday is the playoffs if you make it. And then there's one-off tournaments that you can play where maybe you can only use the silver cards, which are kind of like mid-tier level players. And then we go against each other there. So it's a lot to explain, but basically,
wow,
it's computerized fantasy baseball in a way. That's kind of the quickest way to say it.
I love it.
Remember that game?
Which game you said? Madden, you said?
Stratomatic.
Stratomatic back in the day, yeah.
Computerized version of that. And Stratomatic has their own computerized version of their game. But that's the probably easiest way to describe it to people that know what Stratomatic is.
Wow. And you are creating the player profiles, basically?
Yeah, all the content for that Perfect Team game there. So, you know, one week we'll release Ken Griffey Jr. Well, we're not going to put out Mike Trout the next week because that's another center fielder. And, you know, you want to give some time for the Griffey Jr. to kind of be the king of the hill there. And then you move on. So you got to space out the content from March to the following February and kind of plan how it fits in accordance with real baseball, too. I do stuff around the draft, you know, with rookies and prospects in July there. Playoffs, of course, October. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, a lot of puzzle pieces. It gives me a newfound respect, even though it's not the same thing, a newfound respect for the schedule makers. You know, we're always clowning those guys. Who made this schedule, man? Why is there only five games today? Not easy when you got a lot of restrictions. You know, Taylor Swift concert coming into town. You can't book for five games over here or whatever. They got to deal with a lot of restrictions. I have to deal with a lot of different interesting restrictions like that, too.
That was a spectacular imitation of me. Who made this schedule today? Why are there more day games? All right, you're wearing a San Diego Padres hat. Now, my favorite season win total, I had two. I made the Cubs over. Cubs off to a great start this year. They're now 24-18. They've sort of mellowed a little bit, off to a great start. Now they've still
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
a 90 in pace.
Yeah, still right there, half game out of the lead of the NL Central. The other one I loved was the Padres over. And the Padres started slowly, and then I had Steve Fezzik text me and be like, "Oh, your Padres aren't doing so well." And I was like, "Pipe down, give it some time." And here they are; they're 500 now. Big favorites tonight against the Rockies. What has gone right for the Padres, and how bullish are you on them right now?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty bullish. I'm mostly wearing this because I was out there this weekend. A quick little San Diego jaunt. Got to go set the record for the Petco attendance. All I'm saying is that they never set a record until I went.
That's right.
So, you want to say the record is me? That is your decision, but they never set a record until I went. I go, they set a record, ergo, vis-a-vis, ipso facto, I was the record setter. Anyway, what's gone right for them? Quite a few things, in fact. And it was starting to look a little dicey early on. Again, like, are we going to have another season where we have to kind of wait for the talent to come through because we know the talent is there? No, it is finally coming through. I will say in a weird way, and I don't ever root for injury, but maybe having Joe Musgrove on the shelf a little bit, not bludgeoning the team every fifth day, has kind of helped. Although, Randy Vasquez in his stead hasn't been great, but the rest of the pitching has. Dylan Cease has been amazing. Darvish has been amazing. Michael King's been more good than bad, despite having some bumps. Waldron's been up and down, and then Musgrove, of course, was struggling. Hopefully getting healthy will be great for him. Robert Suarez is, unfortunately only the second best closer in California. Thanks Mason Miller there in Oakland. But, the best in the National League right now. Robert Suarez has been amazing. The bridge to Suarez has been fantastic. So they're not blowing leads. You know, remember their one run record last year, their extra inning record. The offense is going pretty well, and they've even got a few guys that are in a lull, like Xander Bogart specifically. I have no real concerns about him. Profar has been God tier and kind of picked up the slack for maybe some of the stars that aren't superstarring, right? Like Machado hasn't been great. Bogarts hasn't been great. And Tatis has been good, but not God tier. Well, Jerickson Profar is kind of picking up the slack for those guys. So they've got a lot of things working. The Luis Arraez trade was great. The fan base is a billion percent behind them there. That was a heck of a game. Of course, I will say that the record was set, at least in part, to the fact that the Dodgers were there and they had a very strong contingent. But this Padres team is good. I like what they've got, and we know that they'll remain aggressive. A big injury or two, like, they're still going to go out and try to replace guys. And so they're going to try to be there all year, even though they have to go up against that juggernaut Dodgers team.
Give me the team, either AL or NL, because someone was asking me the other day about the Oakland A's, and the Oakland A's have been absolutely pesky. They're 19-24, and you can bet specifically who's going to end up in the number six position for the playoffs in either league, which is obviously the last position, which is a really interesting thing because you can get really favorable odds on that kind of thing. Give me just generally the team that is sub 500 right now in baseball that you think is the best of all of them and the one that you have the most hope for heading into a postseason.
That is really interesting. I'll take one of the easy answers and say, like, I'm still pretty keen on the Diamondbacks, despite some things not going their way at 20-22. Corbin Carroll looks really off right now, although that new bat speed metric over at Baseball Savant says his bat hasn't slowed down. I know there was a lot of speculation there that with the shoulder, maybe the bat has slowed down a bit, at least from a pure velocity swing standpoint. It hasn't really, although this is the first year of that data. But then for a team that is maybe a bit more off the radar, you mentioned the A's, and they have been pesky. They've got Mason Miller as the best closer in baseball, and they are hitting bombs. But push come to shove, I just don't think they have enough horses. I'll tell you the team that could still do it. They started strong and then immediately hit a lull. I still am pretty interested in that Pirates ball club. They need to figure out some offense. Skeens, you know, Matt talked with Matt Brown in this slot last week. We were pretty excited about the Skeens debut. I feel pretty good about that. We told people, you know, you could still go out there and get a rookie of the year ticket. He didn't go out and have the best debut, but you saw how it works, right? Like, it makes sense how this could definitely work. And four innings, three runs is hardly a bad start when you've got seven Ks, two walks. That's not too bad. He and Jared Jones, Skeens and Jared Jones at the top of that rotation are really, really strong. The offense needs to start pulling their weight. There was a lot of excitement about Cabrian Hayes coming into the year. He just recently hit the IL. They have to hope that when he comes back, he's ready to kind of do what he was supposed to do. O'Neal Cruz has finally started to turn the ship around. Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, like, they've got some pieces, but they would need to start pulling their weight. The pitching is pulling their weight right now. I do think the Pirates are still pretty intriguing. And then one other team I'll say is the Mets. If Kodai Senga gets going, when he comes back, they could find enough pitching. And I think they have a decent enough lineup too. So the Mets, Pirates, and then, like I said, the Diamondbacks are kind of an easy.
Paulie, great seeing you. Appreciate it. Congratulations on all the gigs.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Gil. Take care.
Paul Spohr setting records in San Diego. At Spohr on Twitter. Paul Carr on the Premier League and more. Little Crawley Town. Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, our next guest, requests that Ben Wilson take over this chair once again, because apparently when Ben was here on Friday, he went 3-0. So apparently it's Ben. So if he doesn't go 3-0, it's clearly my fault. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Paul Carr from Topeka, Kansas, True Media Networks, and of course the Expected Value Podcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
What's up, Gil? Always happy to talk to you. I'm glad we got our differences out, aired them early, so we can move on with our day.
That's right. We can move on. Hey, before we get to your Premier League thoughts, Crawley Town, Preston Johnson, co-chairman of Crawley Town. This is real. They are in the championship on Sunday against Crewe. If they win, they are headed up to League One. This is unbelievable. Yeah.
It's wild. I mean, there's nothing like this in American sports where you just earn your way up and you can be, you know, a Crawley Town type of team where you were, you know, non-professional for a long time. Now you're inching your way up and got a shot at the third division in England, which is, you know, I'd say it's a higher standard than say double A or something in baseball. So yeah, this is a pretty wild story. It's a great ride.
It's incredible. By the way, Jason Weingarten, our buddy, Jason Weingarten, who's tied into the team as well, he is flying to London Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
To go to this game. He actually texted me. He's like, "Do you want to go to London?" I was like, "Hey, easy, buddy. I can't just go on the drop of a dime." But they're at Wembley, and this is just, I cannot. This is, what a story, man. Wrexham Schmexham, as my mother used to say. This is the story.
That's right.
What are we doing the show on the road on Friday?
We should go to Wembley?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
What do we got to do? Yeah. Come on.
We're at the D, for God's sakes. What's going to happen to the D if we leave? Now, wait a minute. There's Crawley going from League 2 to League 1. You have some play also in League 1 to the Premier League in one of these?
Yes, this is the Championship, which is the second division to the Premier League. So they're at the semifinal stage, the second leg. I mean, this is a cliche pick of taking the under in these matches, but the first legs were last weekend, both ended 0-0. So I like Leeds and Norwich City under 2.5 at -105. That's the second leg on Thursday. Leeds defense is good. Norwich's best striker, Josh Sargent, American, may not play because of injury. This just feels like a classic grind it out. Someone wants to win this one desperately 1-0.
Okay. Without further ado, let's go to the Premier League table. Arsenal at 86 points with one match left. Man City at 85 with two left. Now, this is obviously a game between Man City and Tottenham, and there are some implications here that you would like to go over.
Well, yeah, the title stuff is short and simple for City. You know, they win this, they're in the driver's seat to win the title this on Sunday. Tottenham still has a shot at Champions League. They probably have to win both games, this one and the finale, or they do have to win both games and hope Aston Villa does not win on Sunday. And they're also still fighting for a Europa League spot to finish fifth. They just need a point the last couple of games to get those. But the weird thing is there's a lot of Tottenham fans hoping that Tottenham loses this game to Man City just so their rival Arsenal does not win the title, which is pretty wild to me.
But because Tottenham has stuff to play for, that's probably not going to manifest, correct?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you can root all you want, but I mean, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, the NBA and tanking and things. Like, the players aren't tanking. The tanking comes from, you know, coaches or GMs or putting the team together or something. Tottenham's still going to go out there and do their best against City. I don't think it's really going to matter because City's a lot better. But yeah, they're not going to, you know, lay down and let City roll in this one without at least trying.
Now, isn't there some ownage between Tottenham and Man City, recent history?
City's kind of struggled in London a little bit, but in general, City has had the better of Tottenham for the most part. So, I mean, just to move to the play, I don't see how City is going to drop points in this game, especially, but I just think they're going to roll. They're cooking. They've won, let's see, 7 straight games, all by multiple goals. They've scored 4 straight in 6 of them. Now, most of those opponents weren't all that great, but they still beat Villa 4-1. They beat 1-4-0 at Brighton, and those teams are, you know, similar or better than Tottenham. Tottenham has injury issues. They've lost 4 out of 5. They do have a little to play for, but City's healthy and cooking. I will lay the goal and a half gladly at -110 on Man City here.
Man City minus the goal and a half against Tottenham. Okay.
That's today, to be clear.
That's today. Okay. Tomorrow you have a play as well. Newcastle is also on the outside looking in, but they cannot get to the Champions League. They are too many points down, but they are taking on Man U.
Yeah, Newcastle's an outside shot at Europa League, but they need Tottenham to lose both games. They're kind of in the Conference League, which is like the, you know, CDI or whatever of European soccer at this point. So that's something. I don't know that it's a huge thing, but it's something. This is really a fate of Manchester United because they just look absolutely cooked. 1 goal in their last 3 games. on the offensive side. They've only have one shutout in their last 13 games on the defensive side. The defense has tons of injuries. The midfield looks washed up. So I played Newcastle to win at plus 155 last night. I've seen it down close to like minus or plus 130 already today, which is getting thin. But Newcastle, I mean, they're not cooking. They look a little tired as well. But Alexander Isak, Callum Wilson, their two forwards up top, have five goals in the last three games. They're averaging over three goals and three expected goals in the last three games. So this is, you know, just take the good team on the road getting plus money because United looks like they are done for the season.
So let's get back to the top of the table here. So you have Man City beating Tottenham. Yeah, yeah. You're laying the goal in the half.
Yep.
All right. So regardless then of what Arsenal does, Man City will still be in the driver's seat heading into their game against West Ham. That's no gimme.
Correct.
That's no gimme, right?
It's not a gimme. West Ham also looks like they've kind of been on the beach for a few weeks. Their manager is leaving at the end of the season. So it's not a gimme, but it's City at home, and it's hard to imagine, you know, them losing at home to a, you know, mid-table team at best. But then we can go back to, you know, like 2012, Man City just had to win at home against QPR to win the title. And that's
right.
When QPR, it's the whole Aguero scores the last kick of the game, waves his jersey around and everybody else. That was the game City should have rolled in as well. So, you know, the old Chris Berman, that's why they play the games.
That's why they play the games. So this kind of game today, again, Man City and Tottenham, like, where does this rank in the Paul Carr excitement hierarchy? Like, if you go not only Premier League, but also other national leagues, and then, of course, the international leagues as well.
This is kind of as close as you get to, say, compared to the NFL, a conference championship game. It's kind of a semifinal where, you know, City cannot wrap up the title here, but if they win this, they're in great shape going to the last day of the season. So it's kind of at that level. Like we're amped for this, and there's just the weird factor of all these Tottenham fans that seem to be selling their tickets. Not sure what attendance is going to be like. Are they going to be rooting for City? That's kind of just a weird wrinkle on top of just your usual, you know, title race and, you know, semi-conference championship type of game.
Okay. And then Olympics, we're still a good ways away from talking about that, or any other additional thoughts on the Olympics?
No, we're still waiting. I mean, from a U.S. perspective, in a lot of these countries, we'll see what kind of rosters they name for some of their early summer stuff. U.S. has Copa America, Euros, things like that, which may give us a clue as to what the rosters on the men's side might look like for the Olympics. But until we know, like, who those players are on the men's side especially, it's tough to bet. And the women's side is set. We know what we have there, but there's no Germany to bet on, so I'm just confused.
So you're confused. You have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know what to do.
Paul Carr, Man City today, minus goal and a half against Tottenham in the big one, and then tomorrow Newcastle at plus 155 against Man U. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate it.
All right, Gil. We'll talk to you this weekend.
All right, if he doesn't go 2-0, consequences. Absolute consequences.
Gotta be
me. For you, you're the neutral. You're the neutral in all this.
He's here to watch right now. He's like,
he's here to watch the podcast.
Better get a couple winners.
He's like, I can't wait to watch the podcast.
You're sitting on the hot seat. Ben Wilson's ready to step in right away. Okay.
Podcast schedule again. Q1 baseball derivatives today. You've got long shots coming up after that today.
Yep.
Again for PGA Valhalla, and then next week a little French Open podcast. With a little Weston and Dinsick.
Nice.
Let's get Dan Weston back out there, baby.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. That'll be great to see.
Dan Weston had some health issues, and so we're glad that he's past them. So we look forward to talking with him as well. All right, and then NBA, just to clarify again, your plays tonight are?
I am on the Knicks small. I did a little same game parlay too. I think total's pretty correlated to a side tonight. Like, if you like the Pacers, you're probably liking Pacers team total over or over for the game. If you're like the Knicks, which I do a little bit tonight, like Drew said, I think it's going to be their style win. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be physical. It's going to be back to some of the games we saw, game one, game two in Madison Square Garden, where I think referees probably come into question over some calls. It wouldn't shock me at all if we see that tonight, but I'm expecting a little bit lower scoring game. 217 feels pretty high for me. So I did a little, what'd I do? Knicks moneyline, an alt under on the total, and Deuce McBride over on his points, rebounds, and assists. And Nuggets Timberwolves, unless I see a five, I'm staying away. I think that's going to be a great game tonight, though.
Great game to sit back and watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go Guardians. We've done all we can do. If you're on the radio side, Gojo and Golic are next. If you're watching the pictures, it's Best Bets. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.